Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Robbie Brady, again, it's just a long ball forward. Can eventually John Walters take advantage? He can. Walters on the volley.
Yes!
John Walters equalises for the Republic of Ireland. It was Route 1 stop, and John Walters brings this stadium to its feet. 5 minutes remaining, and Ireland are level, and John Walters is the hero again. It's Ireland 1, Austria 1. Corner kick over on the far side, taken by Robbie Brady. It's an outswinger. Oh, it's met in the air. Oh, and it's hooked over his own crossbar. Still knocked out. It's in the back of the net.
Yeah.
And Ireland are in front, and it's Shane Duffy. Not or not.
Oh,
it's been disallowed.
I thought initially the referee
had pointed to say it was a goal. He had pointed for a free out. Walters out of his right foot. Oh, he's taken down, surely. No,
it's
says
penalty.
The referee. Play on. It had to be a penalty. They're playing on, though. McGeady inside the area. Gets the cross. Houlihan. Oh, his shot is blocked
it's
down.
It's going to be a penalty.
And it's still cleared eventually out for throwing. Oh, surely that should have been a penalty. John Walters. Well, he was set up for the shot with the right foot, and as he went for it, his foot was clipped. He's injured in the process. He's telling him to hold on with the throw-in. Loose ball forward there in the end from the Austrians. It'll be a goal kick, and that is the final action. John Walters rescues a point for the Republic of Ireland.
It sounds like an absolute classic there. Unbelievable. Nathan Murphy and Kevin Caban on commentary. We have Brian Kerr on the line. Brian, we'll get your thoughts in one moment. Here was Martin O'Neill after the game, summing up the Irish performance.
I thought we had a very, very tough first half. I thought Austria were better than us. We had a very poor opening 15 minutes, put no real pressure on Austria, allowed them to get into the game, almost taking the crowd out of the scenario. And we couldn't really create anything in the game. I was a bit surprised at that there, because we had talked a couple of days ago about trying to get started very, very early in the game, try and be on the front foot, as I mentioned before. It was the point in the first 15 or 20 minutes of the game is that we kind of, not meaning to do, but John was isolated a bit up there, and then we're not giving the best service to him. Sometimes he's having to flick things on and hoping that someone has read it, but we haven't done that, and the ball's coming back. I thought in the second half we just put loads and loads of pressure on, loads of pressure, helped by the crowd, and then there's always a possibility of Austria scoring at the other end when you have got so many attacking players on, but that's the risk you take. And this is what I mentioned before. So delighted to have got the equaliser, and I thought that we had a legitimate good goal disallowed. And I am pleased. The referee wasn't totally to blame for our performance in the first half, but I thought he was very poor indeed. Considering he was letting things go during the course of the game, which is fine. I like referees who let things go, but it seemed to be penalising us a great deal. But in answer to your question, Austria is still a very fine footballing side, and we have to work really hard for anything that we get.
Brian, you sum up the performance for us.
Well, we scrapped out a draw. We battered Austria into submission in the second half with the addition of Darrell Morphy coming in beside Walters. It wasn't a very good performance, but it's no different from a lot of the performances. The only really convincing performance we've had in the group was Moldova away, when we controlled the game and scored good goals and won the match convincingly. The other matches have all been on the back foot, breakaway goal in Austria, played well on the back foot and won 1-0, lucky to get away with it towards the end of the match. Serbia, scrap. And we pulled out an equaliser late in the game. But, you know, there hasn't been another match other than Moldova that you said, well, the team played very well and I enjoyed watching them and it was great. Mm. But here we go, where we've three wins and three draws, and we're a great chance of winning the group. And maybe that's what that's what satisfies the public. It doesn't particularly satisfy me. I wouldn't be paying in to watch it now, I have to say. I'm lucky in that I'm generally walking on the match days. But I wouldn't be. I think it's generally not very easy on the eye. I kind of half gone looking at what the opposition are doing. And, you know, Martin said the problem in the first half was the service to John Walters, and he was having to flick on balls, and there was no one getting up quite close to him. That wasn't what I saw. What I saw was that Austria controlled possession through trying to play a bit of football out from the back, to trusting their defensive players and the goalkeeper, who hasn't played for ages for them, to play the ball into Baumgart Linger, who drops short in between the centre-backs to take it, and then link up with Alaba and Janosevic. And play from there.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Yeah.
We do it. They're up towards Walters and hope for the best. So, and they dealt with that. The two centre halves dealt with it quite well in the first half. Eventually, Walters got the better of Dragovic and scored a very good goal. But it was battered and ram stuff. And I felt we just deserved a draw. There's other people I spoke to, they didn't think we deserved a draw. That Austria should have won the match because they missed the clear cut chances. But I felt we deserved a draw. And that two more draws against the big two, against Austria and Serbia, could be enough for us.
In the first half, and O'Neill concedes himself, even the first 15 minutes were poor, but take the whole first half. What's the pattern of play? What are we trying to do?
I think from the off, it was about put them under a pressure with aggressive play, with aggressive tackling and aggressive stuff in onto their defenders or in behind the defenders. It didn't work because they controlled the possession when they had it. Our midfield players, Hendrick doesn't know where he's playing when he's allegedly playing that position off the front man ahead of the two in midfield. He doesn't know where to be to get possession easily, and neither does he know where to be in terms of the defensive side of it. He should have been the one stopping Baumgart Linger from getting on the ball and building up the play. But instead, he dropped off to try and affect Alaba in a line with Hendrick or with Arthur and Whelan. And he didn't really affect that role at all.
Yeah.
And then Martin, after 25 minutes, decided to change him, as he's done before. He did it last week against Uruguay as well. Put him back into the centre position where he does better. He actually put him in the wide position. Neil Brady threw him right, Brady left, and played McLean beside Walters. And we were a bit better then because McLean is a bit more aggressive in getting around, and there was a bit more balance of the four across the middle. But generally, Austria made the better chances in the first half, Joe.
Yeah. Similar patterns, similar stories, you said. So for much of this first half in particular, the centre-halves are splitting, and you've Whelan, say, dropping in, getting on the ball sometimes. And we just seem, like even just to keep the ball, let alone move forward with the ball, to struggle so badly. We seem to struggle to pass the ball forward in any kind of semi-aggressive way, and I'm wondering, why is that? Is it down to movement, like you mentioned Hendrick's movement? Is it down to attitude? Is it down to the quality of player? Wes is clearly not in there, and we're blue in the face talking about Wes. What's going on with us in possession where we can't seem to advance with the ball?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Glenn is not the greatest passer. He plays it short and simple, and he does a very good defensive job. He intercepts well, and he blocks off angles for passes. He's not the best, most mobile player, or the best creative player in terms of starting it. And he likes to play it simple and play it back. But I wonder what the attitude is of the team and what the preparation is. If there's never any practice in the training towards a style of play, well then it's off the cuff stuff when you go out and play the match.
And does it look off the cuff to you?
It always looks off the cuff to me. It always looks off the cuff to me. But I mean, you have Kevin there, which, and Kevin, I'm sure, has spoken about it over his 100 international matches. There are very few matches that are easy, but they can be easier if you know what you're going to do and what the plan is and what the first plan is and what the second plan is. Our first plan seems to be let it be off the cuff, but put the opposition under pressure somehow or other. There doesn't seem to be any intent on let's try and build a play up nice and smart and fast through midfield to you get it up to the front players, or get it to the wide players, get cross in the box and people arrive. It just seems to be playing it up in the general direction of Walters along when he plays, and we work from there. Now, if any football breaks out, so be it. Get on with it. But that is much more likely to happen when Wes Hoolan is in the team. And that's why I think myself and a lot of other people are always kind of pushing the idea of Wesley playing, because he looks to get on the ball, irrespective of who has it, where they have it. He wants to start. And then you see the likes of Brady and Hendrick and McLean clicking into action. Suddenly there's someone given a bit of intent in how we play and pattern to how we play, and we get on from it. But when he's not in it, it's a lot of kick and rush.
Yeah, I mean, I found that myself. I think it was quite downbeat around us anyway when we'd heard the team when Wes Hoolan wasn't going to play. But there's a couple of things in relation to maybe from a manager's perspective, Brian. So in the aftermath of that Uruguay game last week, Martin O'Neill spoke about the high tempo, about being really positive, all the messages Roy Keane spoke in midweek about we're going to war. But it never felt like that for the first half. It did seem quite flat. You spoke there about maybe a couple of challenges going early, but I didn't feel as though there was any real tempo to the game. There was no real passing forward. There was no real intensity with running off the ball. So when as a manager, Brian, you've ever give that sort of message out, and that's not then able to transcend onto the pitch. So how do you try and rectify that? Did you feel that was rectified in the second half? Because that's the talk coming out, that there was this tempo to the game.
Yeah, I think if that was the intent, but... You know, I think about this one, Kevin. Would if Roy was playing, and that was the style of football, would Roy be happy with that, with the back four,
no,
with Duffy and Long getting it, and saying, Roy, I know you're great with the ball, but I'm not going to pass it to you. I'm going to build it forward. Would he have done that? He would not. He'd be back giving out, and he'd been giving out to the manager. He'd been giving out at half time.
But to be fair, Brian, their distribution was poor at times. There are still plenty of times across that 90 minutes where they do give it to a Glenn Whelan or they do give it to a Harry Arter. Well, and even then, we're struggling to move it forward. Even then, it's going to Stephen Ward and back and across and back and across, and it's never going forward.
Most of the best things I felt in the first half was a couple of times. He wasn't great, Harry Arter, but it was just that forward pass. Just a couple of times. He got it, he'd taken the ball. When he shifted it on, he was trying to dictate where the ball was going to. That's where I felt as though the best forms of the attack were coming from, when he was getting the ball, passing it early, quickly forward. But that just didn't happen often enough throughout the first, and that's where I think the sting was taken out of the game because of that.
Yeah, I would think his forward pass should really have been at Hendrick.
Yeah.
Right? But Hendrick didn't get good positions to receive it. He was being blocked off by Baumgartlinger in that position, holding it for them. They had a 4-1 and a 4, and he was the 1-1. He was always the 1 in there. But that's generally the case when he plays there. And unless it's Wes that's there. I thought Glenn actually played well for the hour, 55 minutes. He played well. He was quite aggressive, and he made some good little runs forward, actually, not ahead of the ball, but to get to the ball. And he was fouled in the first half when he was making a very good kind of pounce with the run, I thought, at one stage. So I thought Glenn was all right, but I just think the intent is not there to try and use the players. I mean, when we go back to Italy in France, the Italy game in France, when we got a hold of that game, and it was with James McCarthy, Brady, Hendrick in the middle of the field, passing it quickly, Wes comes into it, brings it on, and we were really good. We started to look like a football team, and that gave me hope that in the future, this is the way we're going to be. And we carried that into the match with France until the red card. We played quite well in the match with France. But since then, it's been back to too much of, bar the match in Moldova, it's been too much of the other stuff. So
they're a difficult team to analyse then, because, you know, Kevin Long, even at full time in his interview, admits he found out an hour before kickoff that he's playing. You've talked about the pattern of play, Brian, and you're wondering about the preparation during the week. And O'Neill is old school. O'Neill is from the school of Clough. But all of these things just seem like they could be improved upon. And yet, we're getting away with it for a long time now. Like, we're in good shape in this group. We got to the Euros last year. Like, there's something working about this team.
Well, if you're asking me a question, I'm saying, sometimes it baffles me that it appears to be you can get away with going into the dressing room an hour and a quarter. I mean, I've said this loads of times before, and I've had to question how I used to manage myself. But I question the idea of giving the players, you know, well, at least I would have named the team on the morning of the match most times, I think, and I would do the set pieces then. But the day before, 2 days before, the players would have had a fair idea of 9 or 10 that were going to start. And it would have been, you know, we'd have went through patterns of play and stuff like that. You know, but given the way they do it and it works, you go, maybe that's the way. Keep them all on edge. In the very last minute, if you get to the dressing room, then let them know who's playing. And Kevin Long says, but he's played the last, played the last game, played 26 minutes against Mexico, and he comes in and he does fine.
Yeah.
But it's just in the game, in the pattern of the play, yeah, the game, or what's required, and what sort of little things should we be doing or expecting to happen frequently or recurring, that give everyone a little bit of comfort that we know what's supposed to happen and we'll try and make it happen. And it's the opposition stop us from doing it. We have another way to go, which might be over the top in behind the full back. John Walters comes out wide, picks it up, gets it back to the winger, and now people join in from the centre. You know, look, it's hard to make the arguments against it. I'm making the argument, I don't like looking at it. I think it's a lot of it is like, I thought Martin making the case about Andy Gray yesterday and the goal. Mm. And Andy Gray, yeah, like, come on. It was a break, Andy Gray. We've surely moved on from Andy Gray. The rules have changed. Everything's changed. I mean, there was a free kick given, a penalty kick given for Wales in the match with Moldova, where the fella holds on to Volks and the referee catches him and gives a penalty. No, the Andy Gray days, that wouldn't have been given as a penalty. You got away with a lot more pulling and dragging until about a year ago. But games moved on. We shouldn't be promoting the idea that that's okay. I mean, for me, Duffy put his arm across your man's head.
Yeah.
And I think it went off, you know, someone's arm as well. Anyway, what was the case there? Like, I heard in Nathan's commentary and Kevin thought it was a penalty. My initial instinct was, John Walters, yeah, your man made contact with him. But when I saw it again, it was a great decision by the referee.
Yeah. Yeah.
The lad didn't change his run. He went to run around John Walters to get the other side of him. And it was John Walters' foot coming back made contact with the player.
Yeah.
But there was no intent. So there were actually two excellent decisions by the referee, in my mind. And yet we have James McLean saying the referee's 12th man for them. Martin saying the referee had a terrible game and cost 2 points. Give me a break. They had made a great chance. They should have scored a clear-cut chance. And we didn't. Arthur had one. McLean had a chance at the far post. We didn't make the type of chances they made by a bit of build-up. We made them out of batting and the set piece and the break at the far post and the force of the error where the substitute, Gregorish, just kicked the ball on the loop back onto his own goal line.
Is there any possibility that O'Neill and Keane are on the training ground working on these patterns of play that you have talked about and that you're not seeing? Is there any possibility they are working on these things and actually just come game time, the players either aren't good enough to put them into practice or they're freezing or the opposition are stopping us? Like, how difficult is it to get a team playing some of these patterns regularly?
I don't know the answer to that. I've never been at a training session. They're not open anyway. I mean, they're open to the media, yeah, I think, for 15 minutes. There was an open session during the week, I think, for the public. I presume the media were at that and saw what goes on. So I don't really know whether they practice particular shape work or patterns of play or phases of play. I don't really know whether that goes on or not. So,
well, I can boil the question down to this then. If they did practice it, is it so difficult that we wouldn't see it on the pitch?
No, it isn't that difficult.
Right,
I think you would see little trends in the game. Like, I take how the Austrians built it up from the back yesterday, how they started the game. From the off, the two full-backs split high and wide, as we say. The two centre-halves split high and wide and midfield player drop back short. And then the two wide frontish players were up high and wide as well. So they were stretching the Irish team, making us mark deep in our own half and taking the risk of playing the ball out and using the goalkeeper. Now, that wasn't kind of... we'll have a chat about that on the bus and we'll see how it works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That would have been something, and Kevin would know this. With different teams he's played, they would have played that type of thing, or else there might have been a different way of playing it, and you play it up and play it wide and people get around who the flick-on merchant is and stuff like that. But everyone has you know, some pattern of play that, that's been practiced in the game. We seem to, ours seems to be get it up to the front and play off the bits. And, you know, it's been successful, I suppose. I just don't like, I don't like the look of it. And I mean, why are we going through the whole thing of our underage teams trying to play football and trying to knock it and build it up and play through midfield and play into the front people and all that stuff? Why do we not just go back and say, oh, well, look, if we're going to just get to the senior team, you're going to be required to be good at competing, bashing, getting after it, getting in tackles and all that. And then go through that, go back to that with the underage teams as well and play that way, you know? Some of it's a bit bizarre to me.
We'll leave it there, Brian. Thanks for your thoughts.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Brian.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.